Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Ken Hussey. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Gary.
So Ken is a former Jefferson City Council member. How many years did you serve on the council?
8 years total.
All right. Volunteers cross the community quite a bit, and we're going to talk to him today about one area that he volunteers in now that has some real news interest to the community, and that is his work with the Room at the Inn. Ken, kind of tell us a little bit about the mission of Room at the Inn first.
So essentially, it's a low-barrier shelter to give folks that don't have a place to call their own, you know, unhoused, homeless, or somebody that's in between places, a place to get a warm meal, to sleep off the streets in a warm bed, and kind of just have some security in that regard. So it's really a shelter that's been set up during the winter months, especially when it's bitter cold outside, just to provide a safe, warm place for folks.
So when you call it a low barrier shelter, what is that?
So we don't really pre-screen or prejudge folks that are coming in. And so there could be some other places where maybe there's certain criteria they have to meet to stay at the shelter. Here, it's kind of a group that's picked up usually outside the library. There's some church vans that'll pick folks up and bring them over. You know, they're kind of screened when they come in, but I'd say low barrier in the sense that there's not judgment applied to folks that are seeking shelter there at the Room at the Inn.
Okay. So by screening, what are they looking for?
Essentially, it's just a process when they come through to make sure they don't have anything illegal on them, knives, weapons, drugs, alcohol, those kinds of things. And when they show up at the shelter, all of their belongings that they've brought with them are separated from them for the rest of the evening. You know, that's a safety check for the most part. So the volunteers that work the evening shift will provide that pre-screening and check everybody in.
I'm sure there's a high level of trust there. I mean, these folks with all their worldly possessions with them, as well as volunteers, that it's as safe an environment as possible. So I think that's a very interesting aspect there, that sometimes that became a barrier in itself, as well as the transportation, because as you mentioned, the pickup location is basically the library in downtown. And then where are they taken to?
So the Room at the Inn is held at Catholic Charities main office, which is off of Edmonds, off of Myrtle as well, for folks that are unfamiliar. It's the old Shikels.
Okay.
Renovated by Catholic Charities. They've got a large space in there. The old auditorium space or theater space is where our guests stay, where meals are conducted, and where the primary activities take place. There's a few downtown churches that have come together to provide transportation to and from. They pick up in the evening to drop folks off, and then they're back in the morning by about 7 a.m. to pick them up, and often bring them back to the vicinity of the library. I think occasionally they will drop folks at Salvation Army if that's where they'd like to be headed for the day.
Okay. How many volunteers help of an evening, and how many guests do you have usually?
So it takes 9 volunteers per evening to the morning. So it's divided into 3 shifts, and it's 3 per shift. We try to keep a 1-to-5 ratio from volunteer to guest. We are maxed out at 15 guests this year is the cot space that we have. For the most part, it's been close to capacity, if not at capacity, most nights.
Yeah.
So it's clearly a need for it this year.
When the evening begins, my understanding is it's just an open space, so you have to set up
Correct.
The cot. Kind of walk us through what a normal night might look like.
The first crew, the first evening shift would arrive. They would set the cots, get the bedding ready to go. There's always clean stuff ready for that first crew to put the sheets out, put blankets out, get the pillows set, and kind of just get the room set. Maybe some tables have been moved that day. Because Catholic Charities has used it for another activity. So to kind of create some gathering spaces, get some coffee going, decaf at night, caffeinated in the morning.
There you go.
And just troubleshoot to see if there's anything else that needs to be addressed before guests arrive. There is a volunteer opportunity for somebody to provide dinner and another one for somebody to provide breakfast the following morning. Sometimes those are folks that are also volunteering during that shift. And sometimes it's just that's a commitment that somebody can make is to provide food.
Okay.
And so it's another way to be involved. So those first shift will arrive between 5:30, 5:45. They get the space set. They prepare for food to arrive. And then doors really don't open until 7. So it's a 7 to 8 arrival. So some folks will come on foot to Catholic Charities. Maybe they've been working a job that day. They've taken the bus to get close to it or where they've been in the community. The bulk of the group will show up by that church van or church bus. And then it's a screening process to get them in, get them assigned to a particular cot for the evening, and then just have dinner and relax and games might be played, conversations had, TV wheeled out if folks want to watch anything. Maybe they want to read the News Tribune.
There we go. Thanks for that plug in.
No problem. And then there's the first shift turnover. So I think lights out is usually about 10 or so is the goal. Mm-hmm. To provide everybody about a solid 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And there's a shift transition that occurs between 11 and 11:30. There's a set of three volunteers that arrive next. They're the overnight crew. Really, they're there just to be there, being present in the space. Sometimes that shift will trade off. Maybe one of them's taking a little bit of a nap for 30 minutes or an hour while a couple folks stay up. They're reading books, troubleshooting anything that may come up. If there's a guest that has a concern, an issue, a medical issue, or whatever the case may be, they're there to support them and handle those things. The final transition occurs starting at 5 a.m. That's when the morning crew comes in. Mm-hmm. That's the shift that I usually work because it just works for my schedule. And so we arrive, we transition with the evening crew. It's kind of like a handing off at the guard, like who's here?
Right.
Were there any issues? What's kind of the talk? Even though a lot of the guests are familiar to us, because they're regular guests at the room, you know, maybe something's changed in their life over the past couple of days that's helpful to know about. We slowly get the coffee brewing about 5:30, 5:40. First set of lights comes on at 6 a.m. Breakfast arrives, and we're just kind of being with them that morning. You can imagine folks waking up first thing in the morning. Everybody can be groggy.
Yep.
You know, and maybe they aren't morning people. So the coffee line is backed up usually to get started, help them get settled for the day, clean up the space, help them get out the door on the church bus and off for their day. We clean up the space and kind of reset it. So it's taking down cots, it's gathering up dirty sheets and getting the space ready for Catholic Charities to use that day.
Okay. Obviously, you mentioned this earlier, during more inclement weather, cold weather, it's used more often. Is this a year-round type of?
No, it's just been a wintertime thing. So January, February, and into March this year.
Okay.
Last year was a bit of a shorter time frame. I think mostly just because the organizers were not sure how it would take.
Yeah.
It takes a large group of volunteers to pull this off, and asking folks to work the overnight shift from 11 till 5 a.m. can be challenging.
Sure.
So there's a core group now committed to the cause, and there's still gaps to be plugged along the way.
But, yeah.
So I mentioned you get your nine volunteers, you got your meals, and then there's like a planning committee. I'm not a part of it, but the group that kind of organizes this, and within that group, it's volunteer-based, and they trade off like leadership responsibilities. These are the folks that take week by week, and they touch base with everybody who signed up for a shift about 48 hours before your shift, just to confirm. If there's a gap that week, they come in and fill the gap. If there's an issue, a concern, they're the point of contact to help troubleshoot that, whether that's, you know, the van didn't show up, or there's some sort of facility issue, or there's just some challenges with the guest. Maybe there's some internal conflict that they need to be made aware of, and how do you want to navigate this?
Yeah. How long have you been involved with this?
So I started getting involved last year. Mm-hmm. So last year being February of 22, the first season that it was open. There were some folks that were on the organizing team that came to my Rotary Club. Mm-hmm. They did a presentation, and I had heard a little bit about it prior to, so this was prior to it opening. Caught my interest, and then really, I had just had some people I look up to that shared on Facebook that started volunteering right away. Melissa Hatfield, who's now the new pastor at First Baptist Church here in town. I saw some posts from like Lindsay Rowden, who's on the school board here, that kind of sharing their experience initially right away. And I thought, you know what, like this seems like a good thing. And I know people that are volunteering, so I'm going to sign up and join the effort.
What was your first night like? Or I guess it'd be morning.
First morning. Right? It was simple, easy. I didn't know quite what to expect. I would say that the average person, their interaction with somebody who's homeless, unhoused, is probably in passing on a sidewalk. Maybe if you're coming in the library, or it's from larger metro areas where you see folks that are panhandling on the street. Mm-hmm. And so if that's your only interaction, you approach this a little bit like almost maybe a little fearful.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Not quite sure what the situation's going to be. You attach any stereotypes or perspectives that society has told you about this population and think it's going to apply to each one of them as well.
Right.
You quickly learn that's not the case. These are people.
Yeah.
And as one of them said a few weeks ago, I didn't choose this life, but I feel like this life chose me, and I don't want to be in this situation. But this is just where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
For the most part, they're people that all the breaks didn't go their way, whether that was by choice, by chance, self-inflicted. I don't ask, I don't pry.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think they would choose a different path if they could.
Yeah.
But recognizing their humanity is important.
So what's the thing that surprised you the most about the experience now that you've done it some time?
You know, really, they're very kind. I mean, these folks, you get to know them by name, and then, you know, you just kind of interact a little bit, engage. There's some real appreciation. And I think that what, and this is kind of cliche to say about volunteering sometimes, you walk away more as a volunteer with more than maybe the folks that you're volunteering to serve.
Mm.
And so it offered me a different perspective, I think, on individuals in our community that don't have housing. You hear their stories. And there's one gentleman who was working two jobs and didn't have a vehicle and didn't have a place to stay. But here he is, like, working, navigating our community. Sometimes the surprise is like how hard these people are trying.
Mm.
And we don't set them up for success.
Yeah. I would imagine they felt that almost condemnation from those who are not in their setting. And so it has to be a bright light, a beacon of hope there that there's a way out of it, that somebody cares for them. Because I would think that's an overriding concern is I have to fend for myself. But all of a sudden you've got someone who's reaching out, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Oh, my word, man. Sacrificing like that for them.
Yeah. Yeah. They are extremely kind individuals. And even if they're a little gruff at times, you know, can you blame somebody who's been dealt a hard hand in life that navigates this? Another big thing that surprised me, or just it was kind of eye-opening, was how adaptive they are and creative they are.
Mm.
There was an individual last year, I don't think he's been back this year. You know, he had his backpack for the day, and in that pack, he had like this battery thing. It looked like a car battery, it wasn't, but it was basically a rechargeable, not a pocket, you know, rechargeable battery, but a significant one that he would charge at night, and that's how he got through the day with his electronics.
Mm-hmm.
They're resourceful in what they need, how they navigate, and just the supplies they have on hand. Living outdoors and trying to manage that, especially in inclement weather, just surviving, you have to be creative and work through that. And so I think it's just interesting and really intelligent. These are smart folks.
Yeah.
They're gifted folks. They're talented folks.
Well, and I think as you point out, there are some who, you know, hard luck has hit upon them and they're trying to return to some sense of what they want their life to be. Some, they want that freedom. They just necessarily don't fit in with what society expects of them. And so that's a challenge also that exists. When you think of homelessness, I mean, when I drive around Jeff City, I don't honestly encounter that much homelessness. Do you have a sense just on how big of a community there might be?
My sense is it's larger than we think. If the room at the inn is full, 15 folks, I think Salvation Army is full.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine there are plenty of folks that don't seek shelter at either of these locations for whatever reasons they may have. I imagine it's larger and wider than we think. And I think it's also that sort of scale of what do we define as homeless. You know, if you talk to Angela Hirsch at RACS, she'll talk about her shelter at RACS is full. And so she's got folks that she needs to get out of domestic violence situations and into a space. And unfortunately, sometimes the answer for folks in those situations is just to leave without a home. And so they also are homeless or unhoused. And so I know that there's a lot of folks that are couch surfing. You know, they're staying for maybe a couple weeks with a friend, an aunt, you know, relative, and trying to figure out on to the next. And so it really, I don't know if there's a definitive, here's the number. I know that there's efforts at times to count that. I think that's an annual count, but I don't know if that captures probably really the full picture.
Yeah. Which I think goes also to the point of there's not one easy answer to fix it either. You know, there has to be multiple touch points there where the community can address this segment of the population.
Yeah. And I think that room at the inn, one thing that I appreciated about it to an extent for volunteers to know is like, we're not trying to be like the solver of our guest challenges and issues. It's a narrow focused mission to provide a low barrier shelter, a place to sleep inside, and a couple meals.
Yeah.
You don't have to try to offer all the resources. And really, there are other organizations and individuals in this community to do that. And so, like, I think volunteers are really just there to serve those folks in that moment and in that need.
Yeah.
And not have to sit down and try to answer and solve everybody's challenges before them.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to you may not understand or like how they got in that situation, but it's a question of humanity there. Mm-hmm. You know, when there is sub-zero weather outside and someone has no place to lay their head other than a street bench. I mean, that's just not right.
Yeah, for sure. And there's good folks on the planning team like Stephanie Thompson from Central Missouri Community Action really helps spearhead this effort. Mariah Lubring works at the library. And so I think our library staff, they know the core group because they often use the library as a daytime place to be, to access Wi-Fi, a restroom, read, and just stay connected. And so I think that for a lot of folks in the community, like our public library often serves as a daytime shelter. And so, you know, if you're walking to the library, if you're going in here another time and you know, you see some folks sitting outside on the bench, just say hi.
Yeah.
They're people.
So if somebody's thinking, you know, should I really volunteer? Is this something that's tugging at my heartstrings? What would you say to them?
I would say, yes, you should. If you feel called and compelled to give your time, a meal, whatever, yes, please do. And if you go on the website to sign up and the shifts that work for you are full, email the room at the end and say, hey, I really want to try this out. Can I just show up and help out? I don't think we would turn away a fourth or fifth volunteer on a shift, especially if those folks were just coming to observe and kind of learn how to do this so that they could sign up for an open shift.
Yeah. You didn't sign a lifelong contract on this, right?
No.
So, I mean, to me, that just, it's a great way to just test the waters and to really get a sense of how your unique skills could be used to help someone else.
Correct. Plenty of opportunity. I know we're approaching the end of kind of the winter season here soon, but the room at the inn is here to stay. And so if it's not in the next month for somebody, certainly the following winter, there'll be opportunity. I think the planning team has some new thoughts and ideas and ways to improve it. And so I suspect there will be even more opportunity for volunteers.
Well, in our show notes, we will add how you can get connected with Room at the Inn, as well as other coverage we've had of the shelter. So if you have other questions. So Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. And thanks for lifting up the Room at the Inn.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.